All right. Good morning, House Transportation Committee. Afternoon, House Transportation Committee. Going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 1:04 in the p.m. Today is Tuesday, March 1st, 2022. With us today are Representative McCabe, Representative McKay, Representative Hannon, Representative Luis Stoops, and Representative Drummond, and myself, Chair Hopkins. With us today assisting our recording secretary, the trustee Leah Frazier, and our LAO moderator, Lydia Klein. Thank you both. I'd like to ask everybody to make sure they please mute their microphones online when you're not actively speaking. Looks like both of you are so far, so thank you. Just as a heads up, we are doing House Bill 322 first, which I'm going to go over in a second. Feel free to turn off your camera if you'd like until you're up for testifying on the next bill. A quick note on scheduling. We're going to be rolling today's House Bill 366, dealing with railroad bonds, to Thursday or the following meeting. Right now, we're not going to be taking it up today. Before we move on to today's first order of business, which is House Bill 322, do we have any questions? All right. Doesn't sound like it. So we're going to, it is the intent of the chair to take public testimony today on House Bill 322 and then look to the will of the committee. Following that, we will conduct our first hearing on House Bill 352 by Rep. Fields regarding consultations on renaming the Glenn Highway. It is my intent to hear this bill, take invited in public testimony, and then set the bill aside for future consideration. Any questions on that stuff? All right. Great. With us today is Kerry Crocker from Rep. Stu's office. Mr. Crocker, please come forward, put yourself on the record for House Bill 322, and do you have any opening statements to make to the committee?
Good afternoon, members of the committee. Chair Hopkins, Kerry Crocker, staff to Speaker Stoops for the record. House Bill 322 moves the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund and the Vessel Replacement Fund to the State Treasury from the General Fund. By doing this, it makes them not subject to the constitutional sweep under Article 9, Section 17D of the Alaska Constitution. Funds subject to the sweep must be both available for appropriation and reside in the general fund. I think it's important to note that this bill does not create dedicated funds. The legislature still maintains its ability to appropriate these funds for any manner. You know, it's also critical for the marine highway system to not suffer the destabilizing effect of the sweep, you know, to maintain that endowment or that money every year for scheduling and some kind of continuity within the system.
So, Mr. Crocker, this deals with money going into a fund, not necessarily it is not specifying what the fund, the earnings come out for or the money would be used for in the future.
Chair Hopkins, that's correct. The two funds would be moved from the general fund to the treasury, and then the Alaska Marine Highway Fund would collect receipts from the Marine Highway.
Thank you. Representative McCabe, I saw your hand first.
So, thank you. We might as well get right into this. I still maintain my objection. Dedicated and designated are both transitive verbs. They mean exactly the same thing. They mean exactly the same thing. So this whole designated versus designated, dedicated is meaningless. We haven't run it through the courts yet, and I think we're taking a big chance. Both of these say that we're taking a big chance. It hasn't been run through the courts yet. One of them says a designated fund, and this is March 17th, 2020 by Linda M. Bruce, Legislative Council. It said a designated fund, which we're talking about doing, is revenue that is designated for a specific purpose, but may be appropriated for any purpose. So while we are not making it part of the sweep by changing the name from designated to dedicated, we are leaving it open for the legislature to reappropriate it for any purpose. Is that correct?
Mr. Crocker, Representative McCabe, I think you're having letters in your hands that aren't have been posted on BASIS yet. So I understand your concern generally is about the structure of the fund. That's why I asked Mr. Crocker about the earnings. But because none of us are lawyers in the room, we'll go ahead and take our lawyer in the sky, Megan Wallace, if you wanted to take a stab at what Representative McCabe is talking about. And if you need him to elaborate or repeat the question, I'm sure he'd be happy to.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, hold on, Ms. Wallace. Yes, Representative.
And could we as members of the committee get the legal memo that he's referring to?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and distribute that to the members of the committee, and then we will post it on BASIS so it's a matter of public record. But because it is just a single double-sided piece of paper mostly, we're going to have Ms. Wallace speak on that up to the record before we move on to further questions.
So my apologies for not providing these to everybody. It's just part of the research I've been doing. In fact, one of them, I think,
yes, sir.
Chair, Mr. Crocker gave to me, maybe both of them. I think one of them gave to me the other day, so apologies.
No problem at all. We'll get it up on BASIS. Ms. Wallace, do you want to put yourself on the record and talk about what Representative McCabe raised?
Yes, good afternoon. This is Megan Wallace, the Legal Services Director, for the record. Representative McCabe, through the chair, I'm not sure if there was really a question in kind of the statement, but I guess I will just weigh in to the extent that I concur with the general description of the difference between a dedicated and a designated fund. A designated fund is a fund in which the legislature has established a policy for which it intends certain funds to be used. Designation of a fund does not create a dedicated fund to the extent that money is required to be used as a matter of law for those purposes. And every year, as part of the legislature's annual budgeting process, the court can the legislature can independently determine whether or not it's appropriate to continue to use those funds for the designated purposes. So, for example, in the bill, it relates to the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund. The legislature has the power to decide whether or not to use those funds as originally intended or to use those funds for any other purpose that it deems appropriate. This bill does not change that general structure of a designated fund.
Ms. Wallace, just one second, Representative McCabe. I just wanted to, on my own follow-up on that, when we're talking about designated and dedicated funds, that is for what the revenue and the money in that fund comes out for. If we're just putting money into a fund and not necessarily designating what it comes out for, does that play into the designated and dedicated fund, that question that Representative McCabe brought up?
Can you repeat that? I didn't quite track all of that.
Certainly. So my understanding of the legislation is that we are creating a fund outside of the general fund, a place to put appropriations from ferry earnings, vessel sales into. But we're not specifically laying out what the money comes out of the fund for. So we're creating a space to put money, but we're not saying what it comes out for. Wouldn't that at that point not be a designated or dedicated fund, but is simply a fund outside of the Treasury? More like the SBR than, say, the Higher Education Investment Fund.
Mr. Chair, you're correct. You're correct in the sense that what the bill does is move the existing funds out of the general fund into a separate fund within the state treasury. I am trying to pull up my statutes to see whether or not provisions that aren't currently being modified in this bill set forth a designation of what the funds are in that fund are intended to be used for. But the bill itself is limited to moving the existing funds from within the general fund to a separate fund in the state treasury.
Thank you. Good job reading and talking at the same time. Representative McCabe, do you have a follow-up question before I move on to?
Oh, I have many questions. If we're having sort of an open debate kind of discussion here.
To a certain extent, until we get to the bottom of it and make sure that enough people feel fine. I'm not looking at flogging a dead horse here, but
when I wear it, wear your patience, then please wave at me.
Well, let's go ahead now.
So
hold on one second, Representative McCabe. Do you have a clarifying question?
I do. Representative McCabe referenced two legal memos. One I had already had, which was the one that was then distributed by staff. And then he referenced one by Linda Bruce.
March 17th of 2020.
I have not seen that one, nor has anybody else in the committee. Would you like to question or talk to, would you like to take it off the table, or would you like to distribute it to the committee for public input as well?
I can distribute it if you want. I can have Angie make copies and bring them down.
Why don't you do that, and we will continue to have this discussion as we move forward. But if you could work on the February 2nd letter that we all have in front of us, that'd be preferable at this point.
February 11th?
Sorry, 11th, yeah, 1-1, yeah.
So, thank you, Chair Hopkins. I appreciate the indulgence for sure. I happened to look these up. My mom was an English teacher, for want of a better reason to do this. And both dedicate and designate are transitive verbs. Dedicate means to set apart to a definite use, such as money dedicated to your vacation fund. Designate means to indicate and set apart for a specific purpose. These two words are virtually the same. So this is a potato-potato thing, as the speaker and I have discussed. And I frankly think that we've already had two lawsuits on this already, on this type of thing. And our legal department in both of these memos sort of indicates at the very end that they don't really know. And I can read you, I won't read you the one out of this one, but I'll read you what Marie Marks said. It's possible a court may find that the Alaska Marine Highway System Replacement Fund, with the changes in the bill, is not in the general fund and is thus not subject to the sweep. It's possible. It doesn't say that this is not subject to the sweep. It says it's possible that a court may find. So why are we doing this? And I don't disagree with putting aside money for the vessel replacement fund. What I disagree with is this will go through the courts, and it will cost the state money, and it will be because the legislature is trying to dance around this constitutional issue that we have, which is that we can't dedicate funds. So we continue to do this. We've done this before. We won one. We didn't win one. So, you know, do we really want to go down this road? I'm just am not sure. The other thing that really concerns me, there's no sectional, there's no sponsor statement, and there's no fiscal notes for this bill. So I think we're rushing it. And personally, if I had my druthers, I'd table it until we got all of this discussion amongst all of us settled, and maybe even get an outside legal opinion, because it seems to me in both of these letters that the legal opinion is not what we think it is.
Thank you for that, Representative McCabe. The legal opinions are often stated in lawyerese as opposed to Englishese. So I appreciate where you're coming from in regards to where we'll look at for the fiscal note and for the full legal analysis. I think we're going to be moving this bill on to finance, where they'll certainly get a hefty vetting, considering it's dealing more with finance than with transportation-specific policy issues. But on that note, Representative Hannon, did you have a question?
Well, I...
For a statement?
Yes, I wanted to just reference that although lawyers in America use English, the English spoken and connotated by law is frequently different than what we would say is plain English, and that the definitions of an English speaker of a transitive verb may not have the same meaning in law. I think we also find that in accounting, where the IRS sometimes uses English, but it means different things than you and I speaking about it. And I'm pretty sure that a memo written in 2020 on the topic of this would not have the most current two legal cases that your reference that the state has taken up in the last 2 years. So, I am sure we can go back further. There are a number of legal cases in Alaska case law on dedicated versus designated, and it is not absolutely clear. The line is not as bright as you are asserting. And so that's where we are as non-lawyers at a table debating a thing that is not clearly settled, even though you and I might think that the law says one thing. It doesn't mean that it always means that.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. At this point, we certainly have a shortage of lawyers around the state as well. You have a question or anything to further move the conversation along?
Probably doesn't move the conversation along, but actually in negotiations, and you're aware that I do a bit of that, the lawyers often say, what is the plain language meaning? It doesn't necessarily say that lawyerese, that there's a different meaning to dedicate or designate because it's written by a lawyer. We oftentimes say, what is the plain language? What does the plain language say? And frankly, I'm not saying the line is bright. There's a difference. I'm saying the line is very, very blurry, and I think we're dancing on the wrong side of it. So
I appreciate that, Representative McCabe. And negotiations, of which I also do quite a number of, dealing with complex bargaining agreements, we also look at the intent of the language and the intent behind it. And this is clear. This conversation today is clearly making the intent obvious that we are, the intent of the legislature in this committee is to make this not a sweepable fund. And I don't think you're necessarily arguing with that intent. You're arguing with the legalese language. So if we can put that intent clearly on the record within our discussion in this committee, that would help with those future discussions in the future. Whether it's a Regulatory Commission of Alaska bill or a collective bargaining agreement, the intent and what we have, the discussions at these tables also play a hefty part into that. Representative Stoops?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was going to say essentially the same thing. This isn't changing the designated or dedicated portion of the funds, but I do have a copy of the legal notice that you referred to from Linda Bruce, dated March 20th, 2020, and I will give it to your staff member to make copies.
Thank you.
Interesting because under number one, it says, a dedicated fund is a revenue source that is dedicated by law for a specific purpose. A designated fund is revenue that is designated for a specific purpose, but may be appropriated for any purpose. So, you know, designated, dedicated, I think it's where it's used, what the precedent is. But again, that's not the issue. The issue is just moving the fund from one place to the other. And that's what we're talking about. Not whether it's dedicated or designated. It's going to stay just the same as it is now.
So,
Representative McCabe,
thank you for that, Speaker. So that kind of goes back to my original question, and that's one of the reasons we need to hammer this out, because it says a designated fund that is designated for a specific purpose but may be appropriated for any purpose. This is in the memo that you just referred to. So my question to your staff, I'm sorry, Carrie, was can we appropriate it if we want to? So in the future, if you and I are gone and we build this nice, wonderful fund for vessel replacement, but it is a designated fund, can a future legislature go through and pull the money out of there and use it for a bridge to nowhere?
Absolutely.
Thank you. On that note, we have the expert in the room. I'm going to snag Mr. Painter to quickly answer that question.
For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. And to respond to the question, as Speaker Stutz said, through the chair, as a designated fund, it could be appropriated for any purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Painter.
Yes.
Ms. Wallace, did you have anything else to add from your quick research that you were doing?
For the record, again, this is Megan Wallace, the Legal Services Director. The only other comment that I would make is that this bill and the discussion, and I apologize, I don't have the memo from Ms. Bruce in front of me, but the legal opinion from, I believe, February that the committee has referenced from Marie Marks on the more recent litigation that has related to the sweep, that litigation has not centered on the legal issue in terms of whether or not the funds were dedicated or designated. The legal issues in those cases have centered on the Article 9, Section 17, which looked at whether or not the funds are available for appropriation and in the general fund. And the latest litigation with respect to dedicated funds is the Supreme Court discussion in the Willikowski matter that centered on whether or not the permanent fund dividend was part of a dedicated fund or whether it was a designated fund.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace. And just for the record, I want to recognize that Representative Kronk joined us at 1:24. Thank you, Ms. Wallace, for that. If you have any other questions or comments, I guess at this point in wrap up, as we've mostly been commenting and not questioning. Did you have one?
Mr. Chairman, are we going to hear from the administration on the bill?
Certainly. Thank you for that as well. We do have the Department of Transportation here in the room. Mr. Mills, would you like to come forward on and talk about the administration's perspective on the bill?
Andy Mills, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Chairman, so you're looking for where the department would be on this particular piece of legislation?
Mr. Mills.
Yeah, thank you for that. Mr. Chairman, as many in the room may know, the Chief of Staff, Randy Raro, to the Governor, did mention conceptually this type of legislation to Southeast Conference in early February. So from a conceptual standpoint, the administration does wish to provide stability to the Alaska Marine Highway, and that we do that in a number of different ways. But conceptually speaking, having these funds not subject to the sweep would, again, support that stability that we look for. But again, it's conceptually speaking, that's what the Chief of Staff mentioned at a public event, Southeast Conference.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. And real quick, do you know where that is in the process?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure exactly where that is in the process at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mills. Any questions for Mr. Mills from the Department of Transportation? Not at this time. You're off the hot seat. Thank you. Thank you to my trusty staff for handing out the memorandum from March 17th, 2020. Now that we all have it, we'll also get it on the record for basis. I just wanted to point out the opening sentence of that. A dedicated fund is a revenue source that is dedicated by law for a specific purpose. And this is a source that, as both Ms. Wallace and Mr. Painter described as a structure for placing money into. So thank you for that. And now that we have this all before us, are there any quick additional questions or comments before we look for the will of the committee on this bill? Thank you very much. Mr. Crocker, do you have any quick closing comments?
Chair Hopkins, no.
Thank you, sir. And with that, I appreciate the discussion and the intent of the bill, which we all understand is to make this a non-sweepable fund. The structure, living in a young state, of course, we have to question how things will go in the courts. And I think this is an integral step in establishing the ability to have funds for set aside outside of the general fund within the Treasury. So thank you for those questions from the committee and the robust discussion. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and open up for public testimony. Do you have anybody in the room for public testimony? Seeing none. Do you have anybody on the phone for public testimony? We do not have anybody on the phone. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Thank you, everybody. At this point, is there further discussion or any closing comments by people on the committee? All right, thank you. Seeing none, is there a motion to move the bill from committee?
Chair Hopkins, I move to advance committee substitute for House Bill 322, Transportation, version 32-LS1501/B, from committee with attached individual recommendation and attached zero fiscal note.
Object.
Objection from Representative McCabe. Seeing that, I'm going to go ahead and take a brief of these real fast before we have a roll call. All right, we are back on the record, and with that, my staff is going to go around the room and ask for the roll call vote.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Representative Representative Prong?
No.
Representative Suits?
Yes.
Chair Hopkins?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative McKay?
No.
Representative McKay?
No.
Four yeses and three nays.
And with that, the House Bill 322 passes from committee. I appreciate everybody's work on that and discussion. And we'll go ahead and take a brief at ease as we sign the committee report. Welcome back, everybody, to the House Transportation Committee. Next up on our agenda is House Bill 352 by Representative Fields, dealing with consultations with tribes on renaming the Glenn Highway. With us today are Representative Fields and his trustee staff, Tristan Walsh, Fairbanks fella, born and raised from Rep. Fields' office. It is the intent of the chair to hear this bill, take invited and public comment, and set the bill aside for further consideration. We also have Mr. Mills available for further questions if we need to put him back on the hot seat. Mr. Walsh, Representative Fields, please go ahead and put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
For the record, Tristan Walsh, staff to Representative Fields.
Thank you.
Zach Fields, House District 20. Thanks for the opportunity to present this bill. The concept of this bill came to my attention thanks to a local historian, David Reamer, who was asking Alaskans, hey, did you know the Glenn Highway was named after a war criminal? Mr. Reamer has kind of reminded people of that, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Most people don't think about the history of the Glenn Highway when they drive on it every day. The Glenn Highway terminates in my district on the western end of the highway. So I looked into it and thought that it is worth considering whether we should rename this road. A lot of admirable Alaskans and maybe a war criminal and the best person to name after maybe one of our major roadways after. So, little background on Edwin Glenn. In the military, participated in the exploration of Alaska. Some members of the committee may be familiar with the Kastner expedition. Pretty amazing expedition. Originated from Cook Inlet. The folks who participated in that expedition landed in what I think is represented McCabe's current district and made their way up the Matanuska Valley, over into the Nelchina Basin, up into the interior, almost starved to death, were saved by some local people and eventually made their way out. This was a time in which white people didn't have any maps, so the exploration is really, really pretty extraordinary, and you can read about it yourself. I did last year in Lieutenant Kastner's book about it. So Edwin Glenn was in charge of overseeing that expedition, and he did make his way up the Mat Valley, but he did not actually do the work of setting the trail, hauling supplies back and forth up the new trail, exploring. That was actually more Lieutenant Kastner. A little more detail on the South Central Alaska expedition. Worth noting, Kastner and his team not only sort of explored a route, but they actually put in place a pretty significant trail along the route of the present-day Glenn Highway. So it's interesting to me that actually this is called the Glenn Highway right now and not the Kastner Highway, if we're naming it after the person who set what you could call the modern-day trail. In any case, shortly after the Kastner expedition, Edwin Glenn was sent to the Philippines and as part of the Spanish-American War, and unfortunately in that role was involved in torturing Filipinos, including some local government officials. And there were some whistleblowers who documented Edwin Glenn's crimes, and he was in fact tried, convicted, and court-martialed. It's also worth noting that it seems that that Major Glenn waterboarded three priests in addition to some local government officials. So you may ask yourself, well, how did this road get named after him? In 1942, the superintendent of the Alaska Road Commission renamed what was then called the Chickaloon Highway for a tribal community in the Mat Valley. The superintendent of the road commission renamed the road from the Chickaloon Highway to the Glenn Highway. So, following up on the suggestion from a local historian, I introduced House Bill 352 to rename the road. I like the ring of the Katy John Highway. There are a lot of other admirable Alaskans who have lived in or near this road corridor, but I thought that a more logical place to start might be with consulting local tribal governments. These tribal members have been in this corridor certainly a lot longer than I have, and maybe we should seek their guidance about whether the Chickaloon Highway or the Katy John Highway or some other name might be the most appropriate. So I think our state departments at this point are pretty familiar with tribal consultation, and this bill would set us on a path to tribal consultation to develop a new name. So happy to answer any questions. And we do have invited testimony. I think the historian David Reamer is online and some other local groups as well to provide more historical detail than I can provide.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Do we have any questions for the good representative? Representative McKay.
Thank you. Through the chair, Rep. Fields, just a simple question. Is Glenn Allen also named after Edwin Glenn? I'm just curious.
I actually want to refer that question to David Reamer.
Okay. Seems like it is, but I didn't want to assume anything.
Thank you much.
I would comment that it says there's a zero fiscal note, but if it did rename it, there would be a fiscal note because you have to pay for all the road signs to be changed, the maps to be changed. Presumably, Glenn Allen would have to rename the name of their town. I mean, if Glenn Allen is named after Edwin Glenn, you'd have a lot of expense to make all those physical changes. So I don't know if it's a little bit misleading to say that this is a zero fiscal note. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Through the chair, I don't think the bill would rename Glenn Allen. But you're right. If we got to the point of renaming the road, there'd be some signs to replace and so on. But this bill doesn't get to that point quite yet.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
The representative from Anchorage, you're going to change the name of the road with this bill. You're going to have to change the road signs. There's just a linkage, right? I mean, you have to. So I don't understand how they're not linked.
Thank you. We got it. Representative Fields, does this bill change the signs?
Through the chair, no. I would defer, I guess, to the department on the fiscal note because I didn't write that. But I think this bill is setting out a process to rename it. This bill does not rename it for the reasons I stated.
Thank you. Mr. Mills, you want to come and comment on the fiscal note?
Again, through the chair, Andy Mills, legislative liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Through the chair, Representative McKay, the fiscal note represents the language that's in the bill right now, and I can go through and tell you why the fiscal note was that way. Specifically, again, this uncodified law asks DOT to establish a process for gathering input, meaning consultation information from the entities named. And so for DOT, again, I tried to capture that in the fiscal note. We gather input all the time through fairs, engagement, surveys, and I think as a process we would add into that, given this engagement with the entities named for this purpose, but it can be layered onto other efforts that we're doing or its own discrete effort with little administrative work on our part is envisioned. But the second part of your question, if you want me to answer it, is the naming portion of it, the signage. If you'd like, we did, this has been a question to the department, even when I first got in last year, I heard about it. And yes, signage along the Glen, in addition to a lot of other indirect costs, which we sort of tried to think through, would easily be over, we think, over $2 million would be in excess. And that's just an evaluation in the sort of central area, but we also know that there would be some in the northern region, which it gets into. So yes, a replacement of signs with a new name would be quite costly, but we do not have a full number because we would want specific language on that. And so this is specifically just consultation.
Thank you. Representative McKay, did you have a follow-up?
I have nothing against the idea. I know Edwin Glenn was a bad guy. I just don't know how you decouple the two, where you're going to rename a highway and not change the signs. I mean, it's linked. So no matter how creative you get in the state government here, if you change the name, I don't care what you name it, you're going to have to change the signs. And it's going to cost a lot of money. So, you know, I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. I don't see how you decouple the two.
Thank you. Representative Hannon?
Thank you. And I'm not sure if the sponsor or Mr. Mills would be appropriate, but in reading the bill, I read it to say we're laying out a process in consulting. It's not an absolute foregone conclusion that the highway gets renamed. And would it need to come back to the legislature for acceptance of a name? Is that a legislative process? So let's just say that the conclusion was it should be named Xanadu, and then we would have to get the copyright for the Broadway play, and we would have to have a bill that authorizes that naming and now accounts for the cost of that copyrighted Xanadu and the signs. But that it is and my presumption is we don't have a process in law for renaming. So step one is consulting on what would we rename it if we were going to, and then there would have to be an agreement and an authorization to name it, and that would have a fiscal note to it.
Representative Cronk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That was a question. I apologize. Sorry.
It was one of my long-winded questions.
through the chair, Vice Chair Hannon. So if we were going to rename it Xanadu Highway, what we would look for from the legislature is a bill like any other naming, that is the AS 3540, that you'll find in that section of statute that it has to be named there. There's another AS 19 something, which I can provide, that says only by law can a road be named. And that method is AS 3540, where you can look there and find the Mitchell and other areas named, but a lot of these predate that 1981 statute. And so, but if we were going to change the name or the signs, it would absolutely need to come through in a different bill that does that naming within the context of AS 3540.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. Representative Cronk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sure my history is a little fuzzy, but I believe Glen Allen was named after this Glen and Lieutenant Allen, who I think led an expedition up the Copper River. But I might be a little fuzzy.
We saw a nod from the audience, but we'll make sure to ask David, Mr. David Reamer when he's up for testimony. Representative McCabe, you had a question?
I do. Thank you. Yeah, interestingly enough, I always thought Glenn was short for Glenn Allen. So I didn't. Who knew? This is cancel culture. I want that on the record. This is canceling out somebody who, when he did waterboard, did not think it was torture. You make it sound like we're pulling fingernails and that sort of thing. Waterboarding is accepted even today to be used as a way to question. Significantly, he was court-martialed, yes, and his punishment was they removed him from his command for 1 month and fined him $50. So I have a hard time making huge criminals by all these expansive terroristic, he tortured a guy. I have a really hard time with that. I'm sorry. If you want to say he was a bad guy and he did some nasty things, that's fine. But what he did is not rise to the level of let's totally cancel him out. So Representative McKay is exactly right. If we do this right, we're going to have to unname that town. Glenn Allen is going to have another name, if that's your intent. In the old Glenn Highway and the new Glenn Highway, and this bill does not do what you say it does. This bill says, an act requiring the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to establish a consultation process to rename the Glenn Highway. Why do we need a bill to do that? They already have a process to do that. We can do that tomorrow. We could put in a bill to rename the Glenn Highway as a legislature to do that tomorrow. There's already a process to do that. It requires a fiscal note. This is a bill. If I look at this bill, if you want to know the truth, this is a bill right here to besmirch the name of a guy that's long dead. Who cares? The guy's long dead. That's all this bill does is besmirch his name. If you wanted to do what you say you're wanting to do, which is rename the Glenn Highway, then let's just put in a bill and rename the Glenn Highway. And we can do that without creating a big kerfuffle and with the torture and, oh my gosh, this guy was a hugely bad guy. We can do all that without the cancel culture side to it. So let's just do that. If you want to do that, let's just do that.
Can I comment on that?
Certainly. Representative Fields.
Thanks. Through the chair, I actually don't like cancel culture and think most people have good and bad. And I think Edwin Glenn did some things that I find admirable. I mean, that was he was not Kastner, and he didn't personally cut that trail, but he was certainly involved in the expedition, and it was a tough expedition, and, you know, I admire that. So I'm not trying to in any way cancel them. I think the question is, we don't have that many roads in Alaska, and the roads that we do have, and I think the major landmarks we should name after kind of the most deserving people. And I think that there are probably better people to name it after. Now, if the committee and its wisdom wants to rename the Glenn Highway the Katie John Highway, and, you know, it'll add a $2 million fiscal note, and I would love to speak on the floor on behalf of renaming this the Katie John Highway. I didn't feel like, as an individual legislator, it was really my purview to name a road, but you're the Transportation Committee, and you could change it that way. I think, given that this road used to be called the Chickaloon Highway, and that there are at least three tribal communities who have been in the corridor a lot longer than either of us have, maybe it's a more appropriate process to talk to the people who have been there the longest and see if we can come up with something resembling consensus.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Representative McCabe, you had a follow-up?
Follow-up, thank you. So let's just do that. Instead of putting all this stuff about Edwin Glenn in there, why didn't we say, hey, this road used to be named the Chickaloon Highway. We want to honor the natives in our community that used to live around there. This is their history. This is what they did. Let's honor them instead of putting all this stuff in there. I mean, you said you don't like cancel culture. Okay, but why are we doing that to Edwin Glenn? We have no idea what was going on. He might have just been the supervisor. Maybe he didn't do the actual torture. Maybe he was just the guy in charge, and he got hammered for it because he was the guy in charge. We don't know. We weren't there. So let's not cancel Edwin Glenn with our paperwork here. Let's build up the Chickaloon tribe or Katie John or whoever and do it the right way.
Well, like through the chair, like you said, Representative McCabe, a lot of us weren't that familiar with who Edwin Glenn was, and I thought it was important context. We're not canceling. We're actually just bringing up information about him. And I think we should learn more about these folks, including Lieutenant Kastner. So anyway, happy to answer more questions.
Thank you, Representative Fields. I think we have an opportunity to get something of a history lesson from the invited testimony before we take public testimony. With that note, we have Joshua Albiza. He's the co-founder of the AKAPIDA, Association of Asian Pacific Islander and Desi Alaskans. Mr. Albiza, would you like to please put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation, and give us provide your testimony? Oh, you're on mute, sir. Or is our volume off? Oh, you might be off mute. Hold on 1 second. We're going to put you take a brief of these real fast. All right, back on the record. Welcome back, Mr. Albiza. Can you give us your audio again? Give it a shot.
Hi, can you hear me?
Outstanding. Yes, we can. Thank you very much. Please state your name and your affiliation and provide your testimony.
Hi, House members of the Transportation Committee. My name is Joshua Albiza Brandstetter. I'm calling in today representing ACAPIDA, Alaska Asian Pacific Islander Desi American Association. But I'm also coming as a Filipino American member of our community, an Alaskan who has been present here since 1990, and a military brat. I'm here, and I appreciate your time for letting me discuss the matter of the as-yet-to-be-renamed Xanadu Highway. I would like to state that the currently Edwin Glenn Highway, the formerly Chickling Highway, so Edward Glenn, it's a really interesting situation. My name is Joshua Albiza Brimster. I like to say my middle name, Albiza, because names are important. Albiza is my mother's maiden name, and in Filipino culture, which was matriarchal, we carry that history, and we make our mother's maiden name our middle name. And I didn't used to say that. I would just say, well, my name is Josh Brimster, because I wasn't really proud of my Filipino culture. But now I realize the importance of that. Our Filipino community is 25,000 strong in Alaska. We've been here for 100 years. And we're an important aspect of this community. But for this highway to be named after someone who was, for lack of a better term, canceled by the U.S. military and by Teddy Roosevelt, who approved the findings in his case for his war crimes in a war which cost the lives of over 200,000 Filipinos, which has, that history has in turn been canceled from our school books. This is an opportunity to not seek out a dead man and drag him through the mud. It's a chance to celebrate an important part of our community. Now, I can't begin to describe what would be surmise will be the best name for the Chickling Highway. I've heard some great ideas in this room today. But I know that there's an important part to celebrate a 100-year-old community in Alaska instead of giving a participation trophy to a man who contributed little to our history here in Alaska and honestly is little more than a bad mark on American history. I appreciate your time today, and as the son, well, as the grandson of what I think are military heroes who fought, my grandfather fought on the beaches of Normandy on my dad's side. On my mom's side, my grandfather died in the Bataan Death March. Those are people we should be celebrating. We should be naming roads after, not a man who tortured people. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Albiza. Next, we're going to hear from Mr. Joel Isaac. Dena'ina artist and language expert. Mr. Isaac, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, we can. Please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
All right. Yagudu Joel Isaac Shiji. My name is Joel Isaac. I am currently in Juneau, and I am representing myself. I do work for the Department of Education as the tribal liaison. I'm a Comanche Indian tribal member, and I adjunct faculty at the Kenai Peninsula College for Dena'ina Language, but I am here before you today representing myself. I just wanted to share a little bit about how in Alaska, Alaska Native peoples have had place names for thousands and thousands of years. And when I say that, there's ways of noting that by the geography. So are our place names and how we name things is based off of our observation of geographic features. And so, for example, if there's a lake and that lake has been no longer exists, but you can archaeologically show that there were settlements around that border, and then the name for that lake, and then a catastrophic the glacial dam broke and it drained, you can trace back our place names to those specific incidences in the archaeological record. And so we have been here for a long time. Also, our tradition of naming is a little bit different than the way we name things in English. But to the it's an important part about how Alaska Native people are represented, and that we aren't erased from this place. And I think that this bill, as a way of showing and outlining a proper way of how to come to a decision, is something that's worth supporting because of the need for the consultation process and making it clear that something that has this much prominence in the way that we use it in our daily lives is aligning with the way that there's a more of an American or European style of naming things after honorific figures, and how to meld those two cultures together in a way that doesn't erase Native people who have been here for thousands of years. The Dena'ina, Atna place naming system is very similar. We're cousins in the language family. And so I think that that's one of the pieces of how we address naming that's critical. I think the other thing that I would mention about the Glen Highway, and also all of the highways that bisect from the Fairbanks or northern region of the state into Anchorage, the routes for those highways were determined in conjunction with Atna and Dena'ina, indigenous Dene people, for how to traverse the landscape. So these roads are our traditional paths through mountain passes, by and large. There are some places where things were blown up. That's not how we traverse the landscape historically. But these highways are pathways that we have been walking for thousands of years, and that indigenous knowledge was used to chart out those paths. So even though there were Western expeditions that also walked these trails, that the routes for the highways in our state are by and large are determined by indigenous peoples using those routes for thousands of years. So I would be supportive of this legislation because of the way that it allows for that consultation to take place in a good way before just coming up with a determination, and that is something that is a good first step. And also because of the potential in the future for a fiscal note with some magnitude based on the number of signs for the Glen being replaced, that showing that the steps were taken allows for support to be garnered in a good way that's worthwhile to pursue. And that representation does matter in the way that we are represented as people, and that it's what's venerating positive figures in history, and especially since this highway did previously have an indigenous name. It was then supplanted by a non-indigenous name. It's not erasing anything. It's actually bringing it back to what it was once before. So, Shaman, for allowing me to speak with you today, I'm happy to answer any questions.
And thank you, Mr. Isaac. I appreciate the testimony today. And with the closing of that mention of the highway's original name, we're going to move to Lisa Wade, the Chicoloon Native Village and Executive Director. Ms. Wade, are you there? There you are. Can you please state your name for the record, your affiliation, and provide your testimony as well?
Wellington, Lisa Wade, Suzette Delane, Tolchina Etlen, Night Deniana Prayer, Sinciadan, Sida Petna, Insta, Night Deniana Prayer, Hafwasna, Executive Director. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Representative Fields and other honorable representatives, for allowing me to testify before you today at this meeting. I am the Executive Director for Chicoloon Native Village. I'm a tribal citizen of Chicoloon Village, and I have worked here for many, many years. And I am here to speak with you in support of House Bill 352. I'm not here to speak for all the other tribes along the Glen Highway. I am only here to speak on behalf of our tribe. I have too much respect for my relations from the Kootenai all the way up the highway to speak on their behalf. And I am really grateful for this opportunity. Some of you may not see the importance of renaming this highway, but this bill represents much more than a simple name change. To me, it does not represent cancel culture. It represents an opportunity. It represents an opportunity for us to show respect and maybe even some reconciliation for past harms that were perpetrated against Alaska Native peoples during the time this highway was created, and even the harms to the other Filipino people as well. You know, our tribe suffered great loss during the time the road was constructed due to the introduction of disease and several other negative social determinants of health that continue to affect our community today. And history is not one-dimensional. However, that history has long been told from one dimension and has resulted in the invisibility of, you know, the beautiful and unique indigenous peoples at the glamorization of people like Edwin Glenn and the lasting impacts they leave behind. So while you may not know what those impacts are, we live with those things today still. Alaska Native peoples from this area have thousands of ancient place names describing the area this highway traverses. For instance, the Matanuska River is what we Yanatna call the Tsiapotna River, the river from which the trail comes out. Palmer is Minta, which means among the islands. It's essentially the braided islands created by the Tsiapotna. And Skitna, the brush river, which many of you may be referred to as the Kinnick River. As far as Glen Allen goes, we would refer to that as in Copper Center as Tlatake'e. And so it has had names. These places have had names, but those names have been washed away. Why is it important to consult with tribal governments on the issue? Because we are peoples of many unique cultures, and yet we share similar values, same values that you share. But we do have cultural differences. For example, in our culture, for spiritual reasons, we don't name things after notable people. We prefer to name things after geographical, topographical features or uses of place. For example, we have roads in our community that we've named Munutena, Porcupine Trail, for obvious reasons. There are porcupines there. Or Tabeli Tena, Spruce Tree Trail. This is not to say, though, that we wouldn't support a name selection proposed by other peoples if that was the will of the collective. Chicoloon would very much appreciate being able to engage in a respectful and collaborative government-to-government relationship with the state of Alaska and other tribal governments along the highway on this renewal project. We really believe when we come together to achieve consensus together, the outcomes are better and more unifying. So I just say Chinan for allowing me to testify before you today, and we're here as a resource if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wade. With our final testifier today, we have David Reamer. Mr. Reamer, are you still available? Yes.
I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Reamer. Please state your name and your affiliation and provide your testimony.
Thank you for having me. My name is David Reamer. I'm a historian, and I'm here because I wrote about this a while back. The answer to your question, yes, Glenn Allen is, I can confirm, you named for Edwin Glenn and Henry Allen, a military lieutenant, army lieutenant who explored Copper River area in the 1880s. What I can provide you regarding Edwin Glenn is the context of what he was and how he was perceived in his time. He, as you, Representative Fields, mentioned, he oversaw an expedition, but he delegated all the work. He hunkered down, mostly in Kinnick, and as can be readily seen in his Journal of the Times, mostly troubled himself with documenting local gossip. This is available online, and the original is at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. That, plus his court-martial for torture, and having a highway named for him, comprised the sum total of his value to history. And his time chronicling gossip at Kinnick represents his contribution to Alaska history. So when we say he was a torturer, we say this because he admitted this. He admitted to doing these things. He admitted to ordering it. He admitted to overseeing it. He was there at times of torture. And I think it's worth talking about what this type of torture was. It's very much like waterboarding now. They called it the water cure. And this is where the soldiers would grab the victim. They would hold him down. They would step on his arms and legs and feet and hands and use a stick to pry open his mouth and keep it open. They would have these buckets of water, pails, usually salty or brackish water, you know, water they would, you know, gotten slopped from a stable somewhere, something like that, something horrible. And they would pour entire buckets down the throat. The bellies would swell, you know, near breaking point. People would scream instantly.
Mr. McKay, 1 second, Mr. Reamer.
Call it at ease, please.
Thank you for that, Representative Reamer. Mr. Reamer, I appreciate the specifics of what you're going into. If you wanted to be a little bit less specific of the way the torture went through, we might appreciate that. But in general, please proceed with your testimony as you're going. Thank you.
Well, then let's just say very painful, extremely painful. And again, we know Glenn ordered and oversaw the torture because he admitted to it. He admittedly, yes, didn't think it was torture, but that was because he saw Filipinos as, at best, barely human. And we know this, again, because he said as much in his trial, which he had, too, for court-martials. His written statement of his first court-martial includes the following quote: "Every man, woman, and child in the islands was an enemy, and in my best judgment, they are today and always will be." This is the height of his perception of Filipinos. And yes, torture was explicitly illegal then, both by the Hague Conventions of 1899 and by the Lieber Code that governed American conduct under war. Rule 16 of the code states, quote, "Military necessity does not admit of cruelty, that is, the infliction of suffering for the sake of suffering, or for revenge, nor of torture to extort confessions." And it was confessions why he used the torture. Glenn would lead his troops around trying to track down insurrections. And the most notable incident came in November 27th, 1900. He went into this town called Ibarras. And he was looking for information for the location of local rebel bases. And he grabbed the mayor. The mayor refused to talk to him. He puts him to the water cure. Puts him to the water cure twice. The guy finally admits to something. As he later testified, quote, "I did as the interpreter told me. I answered yes. I thought I would die." Glenn follows the information that he received. He goes out. He finds no rebel bases. He comes back. He's furious. He orders the town burnt to the ground. He lets the people leave, but he only allows that much. They're not allowed to take any of their possessions. For this crime of giving false testimony under torture, the mayor is arrested, he's thrown into military prison, sentenced to 10 years of hard labor, and then exiled from the Philippines, and he never sees his family again. we only know about all of this because many of his fellow soldiers were sickened by it, soldiers who were forced to participate, soldiers who oversaw this happen. And they start seeing letters back to the States, letters to magazines, letters to newspapers, you know, letters up the chain. And finally, the Secretary of War, Elihu Root, and President Teddy Roosevelt order an investigation, order a prosecution of those guilty. So in 1902, when Glenn is finally tried, his first court-martial, he is found guilty, and by what words mean, he broke laws pertaining to conduct in war. He is therefore a war criminal. He was not punished much, but it should be noted that his commanding officers thought this was a paltry punishment for his crimes. The Army Judge Advocate, General George Davis, submitted an angry memo to Secretary of War Elihu Root, claiming that Glenn's sentence was, quote, inadequate to the offense established by the testimony of the witnesses and the admission of the accused. So that same year, he was court-martialed again. This time, he had ordered his soldiers to kill 7 Filipino prisoners. These men were tied up, and he had them shot and stabbed while still tied up. And he was indeed acquitted for this. Such was the status of military justice at the time. And again, his own commander in the Philippines, the commander of the Philippines, Major General G.W. Davis, said that Glenn was, quote, repulsive, that he had reckless disregard for human life. And in conclusion, it's worth noting that the Glenn was not named by Alaskans. It was a name that was decided and ultimately approved by the Secretary of the Interior, Harold Ickes. Alaska was still a territory, thus overseen by Ickes. The name was no more or less imposed upon Alaska. There was no system at the time for Alaskan input, at least not then.
Oh, lost him. Did he drop off? Okay. All right. Well, looks like we lost Mr. Reamer right now, but oh, he's back. Oh, and we lost him again. Brief it is real fast. All right, back on the committee. Thank you, Mr. Reamer. Welcome back. Looks like we are having some technical difficulties here. I think at this point, we will see if Mr. Reamer would like to submit any additional written testimony. And I think we have a fair bit in the record as well with the presentation that was submitted. Sorry about the technical difficulties out there. At this point, are there any questions for the bill sponsor? Representative McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for getting upset a few minutes ago, but I think that we all understand very well about the subject of waterboarding, and we don't need to hear all the details. I would like to point out on page 3 of the recap here, it does say that Edwin Glenn named Lake Louise after his wife. So it seems to me that with the cancellation going on here, we should also rename Lake Louise to do a complete job of this project. So I point that out for you on page 3 of the recap. Lake Louise would also need to be renamed in the spirit of this bill. Edwin Glenn, I'm not saying he was a good guy at all, but I think that the testimony today has been pretty one-sided. He did rise to become a major general in World War I and retired as a brigadier general. So somehow he got promoted and prospered after all these terrible things he did, and I don't dispute that, but to be fair, over a man that's long dead, somehow he did get promoted and moved up in the United States Army and apparently got some silver stars and other awards. So I guess just for the record, I just want to be a little bit fair that he did do some good things. And I guess that's all I need to say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time.
All right. Any further comments? Representative Stoops.
I have a comment, and I just want to say thank you to all the testifiers, and this was invited testimony, and I feel like it was appropriate and informative, and I'm grateful for the testifiers. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Stutes. Representative McCabe.
Chair Hopkins. It's not that I disagree with the testifiers. They've obviously done lots of research. I just think we should do this the right way. And this, I don't think, is the right way. Directing the Department of Transportation to investigate how to go about renaming the Glenn Highway is we don't need that. If you want to rename the Glenn Highway, this is some sort of subterfuge to get past a zero fiscal note and to get the Glenn Highway sort of renamed by the DOT and then say, well, we renamed the Glenn Highway, don't we need to? Now we need to put signs on it. So let's just do it the right way. Let's just put it out there that we want to rename the Glenn Highway. It's got a $2 million+ fiscal note, however much it is, and put it into the legislature and do it the way we've always done. Do it the way we've done bridges. Do it the way we've done everything else. I don't understand this. I just, sorry.
Representative Hannon.
Could I just say, I got to say.
Yes, sir. Representative
Bill. I just introduced a bill because I think, I know there's a better name out there than Glenn. I had no idea how the department was going to write a fiscal note. I assume that signs cost money. And to say there's pseudofuge is completely inaccurate. I mean, I know it's going to cost money. If the department's going to rename it, they're going to have to come to us for the money. What I didn't want to do is presume that I, one bill sponsor, could come up with a name without consulting people who have been here for thousands of years. That's why I wrote the bill the way I did.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we as a state should take a wholesale undertaking of renaming of place names and using indigenous place names in a process that does not use the power structure that is laid out, that simply 21 votes in the House, 11 votes in the Senate have been able to name anything you wanted throughout history. I think the whole premise of undertaking a consultation is to say, what would be the appropriate name? And we heard from Ms. Wade that in the Chickaloon tribe, and I think in many tribes of Alaska, you did not name things for people. You named them for the geography surrounding it. So whether it was named in Atna language, the road that leads to the east and might go to Canada, or if it would be something more ambiguous, is irrelevant to me, but I think the whole nature is that we should undertake a process of evaluating names where we've been able to exert the power of those in charge and assert on the land what we're going to call it from this point forward. As a lifelong Alaskan, I have never referred to the largest park in the interior of Alaska for a president who never came to Alaska. It will always be Denali to me, and many people argue about that. But it is a name that finally Congress came around to saying, you can name the mountain whatever you want. We still control the park. Oh, well, maybe we'll change it. But undertaking a name process should involve many Alaskans and Alaskans who live on the land that's impacted by it. So I don't perceive this bill as truncating a process. It perhaps initiates an idea that we know will take time and will have a price tag to it, but perhaps there will be individuals who are willing to pay that price along the way to post those. I know that the community of Utqiagvik, when they undertook a renaming of their community, there was much consternation, and the thought was it would never quickly catch on, yet it has. And I applaud a people who asked to call what has always been for millennia, something they referred to it, and with that, I'm going to be a supporter of the bill, even if it's not directly renaming it.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Interesting conversation today, listening to everybody. My suggestion would be, you know, I have four daughters that are Alaska Native, and we have these conversations, whether you want to call it council culture. Some of us are going to look at it that way. I mean, when you present a bill and say it's not cancel culture and then all the negative part of it, that's the only people are going to assume that. But my suggestion would be, if we're going to change names, let's do it in a positive light of who we're going to represent or the groups we're going to represent. Let's
Let's do it that way versus having these fights on the floor of whether it's cancer. If that's your choice, that's your choice. But I would rather honor those, the groups and the names that we could possibly change them to in a much positive manner. None of the negativity parts. Maybe this time we look at some of these things and say, hey, maybe this is the appropriate name for this. But doing it the way we're doing here, I don't think is a positive light. And I would like to see the whole situation turned into a positive if we're going to move forward in that. So that's just my suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Croft, for being a mediator in the situation here. But I also appreciate that, you know, we are addressing, asking people what it should be named as opposed to assuming we have the answers here in the legislature. So I think we have a decent mix of that. And Representative Drummond, you had a comment or a question?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I learned a lot today, and I welcome the opportunity to learn a bit more of history than perhaps most of us have been exposed to. But regarding the cost of replacing signs, I voted on a number of bills naming bridges and roads and so on and so forth in my 10 years here in the legislature. And every single one of them was very specific. We are changing the name of this structure or this road, and it's going to cost this much for the signs. I believe it was in this committee just recently that we heard House Bill, was it 296 by Representative Rauscher that asks for donations and gifts and allows for a method of the people who support the renaming of a bridge or a road or a structure to donate the money for that cost. Now, I've had my street changed, my street name changed in Anchorage, and it affected only 15 property owners. But man, was it a royal pain in the neck. It took years before our new street name even showed up in all of the maps that we all rely on our phones and all that other stuff. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for a 190-mile road. But I think that is up to the, you know, that will be determined by the process and what happens. And I'll bet that there would be a number of groups of folks who have lived along the highway for many years who would be pleased and proud to be able to contribute to that I'm going to call it fairly onerous piece of work that it will be to rename or to relabel all the signs along the way on this highway. But that's premature. That bill hasn't passed yet, and there hasn't been a determination made whether there is even going to be a name change. So this simply introduces that process, and I'm all for it. Looking at it in a fair and inclusive way. So I'll be supportive.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Representative Fields, as a sponsor, do you have any comments in closing?
Sure, thank you. I guess I introduced this with the notion that we should elevate and celebrate those inspiring Alaskans who have lived in this corridor and pick the best one to name the road after. I did think it was important just to lay out the history just so people would be aware why we might be considering renaming this road. I didn't introduce a bill to rename every road in Alaska or only name roads through tribal consultation process. This one seemed to stand out as one where we could definitely find a better person to name it after. And I agree with Representative Kronk. A lot of positives in that corridor to focus on. And I think if we went through the process, frankly, we would hear some inspiring stories from people in the region. And I'd like to do that.
Thank you, Representative Fields. With that, it is my intent to set this bill aside for further consideration by the committee. Any amendments for House Bill 352 are due to my office by noon this Sunday, March 6th. Again, that is the deadline for amendments is noon, Sunday, March 6th. Any further questions? All right. Thank you, everybody. We're going to go ahead and adjourn today at whatever time my phone says, 2:23.